It's honestly, it's unforgivable to think that people would do that. I mean, I don't understand what is the motivation for wanting to take this away from these kids.
It's the same argument we see in all those states that have been working on education freedom, that they believe school choice takes resources away from public schools, which is just patently false. That's not why we should be talking about this issue in the first place. We should be focusing on the kids and what they're able to achieve. But also in Wisconsin, we're funding our public schools at the highest level they've ever been funded at. And so it's a very contrarian argument to say that we're underfunding public schools because of school choice. So now we need to force those kids back into their public school. They never were able to answer, where are they going to put 65,000 kids overnight? Where are they going to find the teachers? Where are they going to find the buildings to house these kids? It was an absolutely asinine argument that they were making, with no compassion for the kids at the end of the day.
Americans are capable of achieving extraordinary things when they have the freedom and opportunity to do so. This is American Potential. And here's your host, Jeff Crank.
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of American Potential. You know, we love to talk about school choice and educational freedom. It's happening all over America right now. And as states all over our country are looking at adding or expanding educational freedom for their students, one state has had school choice for 30 years. This program was started in 1990 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by Democrats, and it was the nation's first school choice program. Since then, they've expanded statewide and have 65,000 students enrolled. As students are succeeding, and the numbers are showing this, the Minocqua Brewing Super PAC has brought a lawsuit challenging the school choice program as well as charter schools. The lawsuit claimed that it takes money away from public schools, and they argue it goes against Wisconsin's constitution. Now, there's already been a lawsuit brought against the program in 1992, where the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled the school choice program was legal, but the PAC states the program has expanded since then, which is why they're challenging it now. So, what happened with this lawsuit? And was this PAC able to get rid of school choice for the state of Wisconsin? Today, we have a guest on to talk about the history of the school choice program, the results of the program, and the results of that lawsuit. I want to welcome Americans for Prosperity State Director of Wisconsin, Megan Novak, to the show. Megan, thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So, you know, Wisconsin's program, we talked about it starting in Milwaukee all those years ago. And I remember this being, you know, it was the sort of initial battle on school choice or educational freedom. And at the time, it was really controversial because, you know, it just had never been done. And there was, you know, a whole group of, I suppose, bureaucrats around the country that saw this as a terrible attack on the system. And how dare they try to do this? Talk about the history of the school choice program in Wisconsin.
Of course. So like you said, we had the first program in the entire country here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it all stemmed from Democrats in Milwaukee and Republicans in the governor's office at the time coming together and saying, Milwaukee public schools are not serving all students. There are so many students that are slipping through the cracks who aren't able to read, who aren't able to do math. How can we help them get a better education? And they came up with school choice, and they started a pilot program in Milwaukee, first started at non-religious private schools and later expanded to include religious private schools, to give those kids that opportunity in the city of Milwaukee. And it was really the catalyst for the education freedom movement 30 years ago. And it's really, really heartening to see so many states over the last year or two kind of take on the same fight that Milwaukee and Wisconsin took on so long ago, and use the results that we have to show that it works and that it's something that we should be providing for all students in America.
So I want to take a minute to talk about that, because there's lots of states right now today that are talking about passing education savings accounts. And in some states, and I will tell you, in Wyoming, they're looking at doing it. And you know, there's a bill in Wyoming, in the Wyoming legislature, that would create an ESA program. It's not perfect the way it's written. It's not everything that you and I would want in a program. But what you just talked about speaks to the fact of, you know, take what you can get and then expand it over time. And that's really what happened in Wisconsin. Like, I can tell you, if in all those years ago, if it would have been a full-blown school choice program with religious, non-religious schools, you know, not means tested in any way, I think we'd still probably be beating our heads against the wall trying to get it passed. But you took what it, you know, it, we took what we could get in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee in that first test, and then expanded upon it and expanded upon it until now it's statewide. Do you agree with that as a strategy?
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to kids' education, you can't leave anything on the table. And if that means you can help a few this first go around, then you help the few and you show that it works. And then you keep expanding and expanding until you can help as many students as possible get the best possible education. Like you said, we saw that here in our state, a super limited pilot program in Milwaukee that is now serving 65,000 students 30 years later. And there's still more work to do here, where we could expand it further. But for now, we have 65,000 students that are getting some sort of education freedom in our state. And it's wonderful.
Well, and I look back to those first kids that went through that program who are all adults now, right? And you think about it, if we would have waited for the perfect program to where we said, boy, this is exactly what we want, those kids would have been lost. I mean, they would have not gotten to have the benefit of educational freedom. And who knows what would have happened to them. Lives are changed because these programs are instituted in states. And so that's how important this is. If we're going to talk about school choice and educational freedom, we can't be like the bureaucrats who look at it as, well, the system needs to be changed. We need to look at it as each individual kid, and let's save as many and help as many as we can. We get what we can passed, and then each year you go back and you try and get a little bit more until it is full-blown freedom in education. Yes?
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Okay, great. So now, once this passed in the 90s, the school choice program in Milwaukee, how did it affect public schools? How were public schools affected by it?
You know, the Milwaukee public school system unfortunately does continue to struggle, but I think that's more a sense of what they're up against and the thousands of kids who have now left because of those ongoing struggles. That was part of the reason why we were able to expand it. And later in the 90s, we were able to lift the caps so there weren't as many kids being limited from joining the school choice program in Milwaukee. And then the means test, increasing that poverty limit to 300% so that even more families could get out. But when you look at the overall picture in Wisconsin and look at the statewide program we have now outside of Milwaukee, we see that rising tides rise all ships, I think is how the saying goes. Maybe I screwed that up a little bit. But you see that public school students and the public schools are seeing that they need to compete for kids, and that if kids have another option and more than just, you know, the quote unquote rich kids can leave for the private school because we have school choice, all of a sudden their testing results, their education attainment starts increasing as well. And that's really the most beautiful thing about school choice, is that it's at the end of the day, it's going to help all kids, whether they're in the public school, private school, a homeschool, or a charter school.
Yeah. You know, I always make this comparison. I was talking to a veteran the other day about some of the lack of choices in the VA medical system, and I compare it to school choice, and some of the educational empowerment stuff that's been going on, educational freedom. But I want to maybe reverse that and compare school choice to the Veterans Administration and the care that people get. Wouldn't healthcare be better for veterans if veterans had a choice to go to a VA facility and get their care there, or if they chose to go somewhere else for their healthcare at a community hospital, a community doctor, and they were able to take that same benefit of healthcare benefit and not go to the VA? They can go there if they choose, but they can go wherever they choose. I mean, it seems obvious that those veterans might get better healthcare. They would certainly have better options and it would be more individualistic. They could get exactly what they needed. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? And why would that, if that's working in healthcare in the VA, why would it not work in education?
You know, for the opponents of school choice, I would ask them, find me a single instance when competition isn't better for the consumer in the long run. In this case, the students are the consumer, and I don't think they'll be able to find us a single example, because it does work in every, even in the most regulated of industries like healthcare, like education, competition works.
Right. Yeah, it does. And the best part about it is you may want to shop at Walmart and I may want to shop at Target, and that's great. We can both do what we want and enjoy what we want. There might be things you like about Walmart and there might be things I like about Target, but the choice allows us to have, you know, those options. So that's great. So how do the academics compare between the school choice program that's now instituted statewide in Wisconsin versus public schools? What's up? What's the difference between the academics there?
When you start, even without controlling for all the variables, you already see massive improvements for the kids that are in choice and charter schools. And then you start controlling for variables like socioeconomic status, and you really see where students are starting to shine in those smaller classrooms, the at school choice schools and charter schools. It's actually really unfortunate. Milwaukee and Madison, both the two largest cities in Wisconsin, have some of the, if not the largest, racial achievement gaps in the entire country at their public schools. And then when you compare that horrific racial achievement gap to the results that we see in the choice and charter schools in Madison, Milwaukee, all of a sudden it's starting to shrink and shrink and shrink, where we're seeing more students being able to read and do math at grade level. We want to see that continue for more and more students to get out of that kind of cycle of the huge racial achievement gaps that we see in these districts, and they're not doing anything to solve them right now.
And you're seeing in Wisconsin, I guess this is a question, it's not a statement, it's a question. You're seeing all different races take advantage of the school choice program. Is that right? So it's not like it's just, you know, white students fleeing the public schools. I know that's the argument that some of the doomsday naysayers will use, but you're not seeing that. I mean, you're seeing parents of all races deciding that this is what's best for their kids, and then their kids are going into these programs and they're excelling and achieving.
Absolutely. That's correct. There's no limit on race in the Wisconsin parental choice programs.
Right. Right. Okay. Talk about the lawsuit that challenged not only the school choice program, but charter schools as well. Let's talk about the actual lawsuit.
Should I give the spoiler at the beginning that so people aren't worrying too much, that thankfully for right now, the lawsuit has been dismissed by our state Supreme Court. That we'll see what that means. But essentially what happened is a group of progressive anti-school choice advocates got together and they filed a lawsuit back in the end of 2023, challenging all of our school choice programs and independent charter schools, saying that the way that we fund those schools is unconstitutional. And their solution and what they were advocating for was to completely eliminate those programs. And like we said at the beginning of the episode, that would have been 65,000 students ripped from their schools overnight because a handful of quote unquote advocates don't like that they have this opportunity in their lives.
It's honestly unforgivable to think that people would do that to try and take choice away from these parents and these students. I mean, what is their motivation for it? Just wanting to support the public school system and the teachers union? And I mean, I don't understand what is the motivation for wanting to take this away from these kids.
It's the same argument we see in all those states that have been working on education freedom, that they believe school choice takes resources away from public schools, which is just patently false. That's not why we should be talking about this issue in the first place. We should be focusing on the kids and what they're able to achieve. But also in Wisconsin, we're funding our public schools at the highest level they've ever been funded at. And so it's a very contrarian argument to say that we're underfunding public schools because of school choice. So now we need to force those kids back into their public school. They never were able to answer, where are they going to put 65,000 kids overnight? Where are they going to find the teachers? Where are they going to find the buildings to house these kids? It was an absolutely asinine argument that they were making, with no compassion for the kids at the end of the day.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that's what this is about, is having compassion for the kids. It should be about the kids, but it seems like the funders of this lawsuit, or the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, seem to be more focused on making sure that the system is well taken care of rather than the kids. And they're willing to take 65,000 kids out of a school that they're happy in to prove their point, I suppose.
I suppose they never really had to answer for their lawsuit, unfortunately, but that seems to be what they wanted.
Yeah. So the lawsuit itself was thrown out. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the school choice program, correct?
I'm not a lawyer, so I'll preface my answer with that.
Okay.
But the way the lawsuit was filed is they filed what's called a direct action to our state Supreme Court. So they didn't go through the normal trial and appeals court before appealing to our Supreme Court. And so it was dismissed not because the Supreme Court agreed that school choice is good and constitutional, but it was dismissed because they said this was not the proper avenue for a lawsuit for this direct appeal. And so there is a fear amongst choice advocates and education freedom parents and families and schools across the state that this group of individuals could be planning to make another run at a lawsuit going through the more traditional legal process.
Mm-hmm. So there would be there obviously the possibility of another lawsuit. I mean, I guess their stated belief is that this hurts funding for public schools. But as you say, that can't be the case since public schools in Wisconsin have more funding now than they've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just saying it's a constitutional school funding argument. And that their other claim is that public purpose doctrine, saying that public tax dollars shouldn't go to private institutions. But I think we can point to 1,000 examples without batting an eye of public tax dollars going to all sorts of private institutions for different programs. So it really is an argument that doesn't hold weight once Right. You go beyond the first layer.
Yeah. Well, Americans for Prosperity is a grassroots organization, and I'm sure you have great examples of some of the kids that are benefiting from this program right now. Maybe you could talk about that. Can you give us some examples of how specific people, obviously we can talk in generalities of these kids being, you know, thrown out of the school that they have chosen because, you know, if this lawsuit were to go through, but talk about maybe some examples of some people that you know, or you've heard of, maybe some people who've testified up at the legislature, others, parents and kids that are benefiting from this program, and how this lawsuit, if it were to happen again, how that would impact them.
You know, when the lawsuit was first filed, there were probably a dozen families who came forward to step up and specifically join on basically a countersuit to defend it. And some of the stories they have of how impactful choice and charter has been to their families can bring you to tears. But I think about a conversation I had with a woman who graduated from a choice school 2 years ago, and now she has a full ride scholarship to a university in Wisconsin, and she is studying to become a teacher so she can give back in the same way her teachers gave to her in the choice program. And she's the first person in her family to go to college and on a full ride scholarship. I think about the mom that we talked to who was able to get her daughter into a choice program, who just needs a little extra hands-on support and a smaller classroom size, and is now went from kind of struggling and barely making it in her elementary school to now thriving. She's getting A's and B's in her classes because she's able to have that attention and is in the right school for her. And just broadly in education freedom in Wisconsin with this lawsuit, it's not just an attack on the choice in charter schools, but it's in my opinion, it's their first attempt to then go after any other opportunity that isn't the traditional public school. And I think about, we have dozens of activists in that are homeschool families. And I think about that they have made the choice for their family that homeschool works the best for them. And if this lawsuit came back and they're successful, is homeschooling the next thing on their agenda to get those kids back into the public school? And it just, the benefits aren't endless. And 65,000 students this year alone that are in the program, and you go back 30 years and try and figure out how many kids have benefited. We actually, I've asked for the number and no one has it because we just don't know how many. At this point, hundreds of thousands of kids have been touched by the choice and charter programs in Wisconsin. I think we could do a podcast in and of itself of just Wisconsin choice kids that are graduates of the program to hear how it has changed their lives for the better. So, Jeff, I guess if you're willing to do another podcast, we can probably go find you a couple thousand kids.
Absolutely.
Who have a chance at life because of this.
Yeah. No, and those are the great stories. We love to tell them. So we'll work with you to find that. And I would argue that the people behind this lawsuit, you talked about how they're attacking maybe homeschoolers with this and everything else. I'll tell you who they are attacking. And it doesn't need to be personalized in this way. They're attacking those kids that benefited from this program and that are currently benefiting from this program. I mean, essentially, as individuals, they would be the ones who, if this program were to go away, they would be the ones that would suffer the most, would be the kids that are benefiting from it right now and their parents. To me, this is an issue of, you know, individualism versus collectivism. You know, we've got these folks that are out there pushing this lawsuit. They're for the collective. They're for the system. They're defenders of the status quo and of more money being taken out of the pockets of the taxpayers of Wisconsin and given to government versus, I think, your position, the position of Americans for Prosperity and the position of these parents is that individuals ought to be able to decide what's best for their own kids, not have the government decide it for them. Isn't that ultimately what this is about?
It absolutely is. I mean, my kids aren't school aged yet, but I look at them right now and I can already tell that they're going to have completely different ways of learning things. And I think anyone who is a parent or is around kids ever knows that every kid is different. And to just say one size fits all, that it's unacceptable and it doesn't work. And we have decades of data to show that it doesn't work. And so why not give the kids a chance?
Yeah. It doesn't work in anything. I happen to drive a Ford F-150 pickup, but not everybody would want to drive a Ford F-150 pickup. So it doesn't work in cars. It doesn't work in buying groceries. It doesn't work in clothing. We all have different styles. It just is crazy. And you raise such a great point about kids being different. Anyone who has more than one child knows that their kids are not the same. I deal with that every single day. You know, I've got one that acts a certain way and one that acts 180 degrees from that one. So we've got to teach kids in an individual way rather than a collective way like we've been doing for centuries now. So if people are more concerned about the possibility of this program going away in Wisconsin, what can they do? How can they learn a little bit more about the efforts that you all are doing?
You can go to afpwisconsin.com. We've got that website up and running. You can get in touch with us, and we are happy to talk to anyone about staying involved in the education freedom movement, having that conversation and bringing a voice to their local community about how important school choice is, whether they're involved with it directly or they just believe in education for freedom for kids. We want every single one of those voices to be heard. So head over to afpwisconsin.com and get in touch with our team, and we'll be sure to use your voice to help make sure that if another lawsuit is filed, we can stop it right in its tracks.
Right. Well, great. You're doing great work on this program, and thanks for all you do. It is amazing that this has been passed, you know, in the 1990s, and it's now, I don't even know how many years that is. See, because I'm not very good at math, but lots of years, right? You know, 40 years, 40 some years, and you're still having to defend it. It's it will be defended for the next 50 years. You'll always have to be defending this. But as you say, people, as students come out of this and they're able to do it, they are the defense, right? We have to look at this and say, are these kids being helped? And can we help more kids by improving the program and making it better? But let me ask you this. What else are you doing in Wisconsin? I mean, we've got you on the show. So what other things are you working on in Wisconsin right now that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, speaking of competition, Jeff, and how competition is always a good thing. Yeah. We are in the middle of a fight with utility companies in our state legislature about whether or not there needs to be competition in building transmission lines to save costs on ratepayers. So stay tuned on that one. But that's been a big fight trying to, again, show that competition is a good thing. We're actually working on a healthcare policy, again, to try and inject some competition into the healthcare, expanding scope of practice for nurse practitioners to see if that can help increase access and quality. We know it does. And so all of the things that we are working on a state legislative level in Wisconsin right now, and that we're talking about when you really go back to it, it's injecting competition into the different sectors that touch all of our lives to try and get a better product for each and every one of us, whether that's a kid, whether it's a patient, or whether it's someone paying that utility bill. At the end of the day, we want competition to make everything better for the consumer.
So, and the other side of that competition is people try and, in a capitalist system, sometimes they try and get the market share, or they get control of a market, and then they do everything they can to hold on to that. And you see that in education, where you know, this organization has gone out and it has filed a lawsuit fighting to keep the system in control of the dollars rather than the parents being in control of the system. And you see that through utility companies, right? They get control. They have a monopoly in many cases. So they then want to use that to make more money and reduce competition. And you talked about healthcare. People try to do that as well. They try and restrict the number of people who can practice healthcare. But all of those things are bad for the consumer. If there's more doctors, if there's more people who are able to practice, as you're talking about with nurse practitioners or, you know, scope of practice legislation, the more people that are practicing, the better it is for the consumer. And so all of these things, as you mentioned, have that same free market competitive nature attached to them. Any thoughts on that just in general and how sometimes we as a society allow people to start getting either a monopoly or they protect their business? And we really ought to be leery of that. We ought to fight against that because it's better for the consumer.
That's exactly why it's so important that AFP exists in Wisconsin and in every other state, because all of those companies and organizations that are pushing for a monopoly and protectionism, they pay to have their lobbyists work on those issues to enshrine their monopoly even further. Whereas the general public, the students for school choice, the ratepayers who are paying their utility bill, and patients, who's their advocate group?
Right.
They don't have one. They have AFP. AFP is the one who's standing against and fighting back against these organizations who are able to employ full-time lobbyists and really work the system in their favor. Whereas taxpayers and students and ratepayers, they have AFP to fight for them. And that's what I think is the best thing that we have going for us as an organization, as AFP in every single state, is that there's no shortage of taxpayers, of students, of ratepayers, of patients who need someone to fight on their side. And that's why we exist.
Yeah. Well, listen, Megan, AFP Wisconsin is lucky to have you. Wisconsin is lucky to have Americans for Prosperity. It's one of the great AFP chapters around the country. You do great work in state and on national issues. But thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, well, look, we talked about it in general, the whole idea of competition and why that's good for people in all sectors of our economy, whether it's healthcare or, you know, utilities or schools. We have done schooling the wrong way. Education has been done the wrong way in America for a very long time. because we allowed a monopoly to run a school district, and we based it on a zip code, where someone lives in a zip code. It shouldn't be based on that. It ought to be individualized to the student themselves, to the things that they like, the things that they're better at. It ought to it ought to help and expand and give options to parents to pick and choose what's best for their individual child. And, you know, I know families that maybe have three or four kids, and they go, three or four kids go to different schools because those schools serve their kids the best. That's what this should be about. It's called freedom. It's called liberty. Go out and defend it. It can easily be taken away from each of us, but don't let that happen. Go out there, fight for liberty, fight for freedom. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to American Potential. You may listen to more stories from Americans working every day to expand freedom and opportunity in their communities by visiting AmericanPotential.com.